tonight. It's John Roper had come up to me, actually I should do a little prelude to the rest of that story. I don't want to trip over any wires, but about 2003, October 2003, I came to Christ through a friend of mine who actually introduced me to an Alpha banquet. I'm not sure, some of you might be familiar with the Invite the Nation banquet. It was being held at Desert Stream. And during that time, I was actually running in politics in a provincial election. And this person had been hounding me forever and ever. Come on, let's go to church. Let's check it out. And finally, there was this tempting of free food. And during the election, I was like, worst case scenario, shake some hands, maybe get some votes. So it's all good. So that's what was on my mind. I'm not going to lie. So I end up going to this Invite the Nation banquet and meeting what I thought was a bunch of really friendly people, but also a bunch of really weird people too. I mean, I walked in there and I felt like just everybody knew me. And sometimes, you know how you walk in those situations, everything just clicks and you just feel so comfortable. And you're like, how is this possible? People coming up to me, knowing my name, I'm not knowing them, and shaking hands. And I'm just sitting there going, trying to process all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't understand this. There were so many questions going through my head at this time. And then I actually returned Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And I was just hooked and constantly started to devour and go after more. The reason I tell you this story is because about 9 months ago, I'm thinking in my heart, in my head, I'm getting this feeling that, you know, I really feel like I want to preach. I want to start talking to people and telling the masses. And I was asking Pastor Mark McFall from Desert Stream. I work in the junior high ministry. I'm like, Mark, I've never been to Bible college. How can I be an authority and tell people what's going on in my life and what Jesus is trying to tell others? I've never been to Bible college. He's like, you don't have to go to Bible college all the time to tell people about God. And I was really concerned about that. Needless to say, I had a lot of people building me up. And at this time, I also asked another gentleman I know. I said, how do you know when you actually should go out preaching? How do you know when you are ready to give a sermon? How do you know when you're supposed to go out and tell people about God if you feel like you want to tell the masses? And he's like, well, there's two opportunities to do so. You can either market yourself, spend a lot of money, tell people this is what you're doing, or you can pray about it. And God will show you if that's what you're supposed to do. Well, about 5 days after this, 5 days maximum, I'm at this event. This woman I had known not very long, but she really knew nothing about me, comes up and says, Jody, I'm just wondering, our local church, we're just wondering if you want to come and talk to our youth group about making positive choices. And I was just like, that's confirmation right there. Fast forward a couple months, I get an email out of the blue from John Roper. Jody, we're just wondering if you'd like to come and speak at this event we're having. It's kind of last minute. We'd love to have you there. I'm just like smack in the face. I'm like, confirmation again. The moral of this story is that you got to believe in it. It would have been very easy for me to just say, brush that off. That's not God. That's just coincidence. I believe that I'm supposed to be up speaking to the masses. That's what I expect to happen. And when I expect things like that to happen, God will deliver on his promises. It tells us in his word. I'm stoked. This could go off in all kinds of different directions. I know I told them in the back room, I said, we're speaking on Psalm 37:4, which is, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. But I'm feeling right now that it could go off in a multitude of directions. So you're just going to have to bear with me. But it's so awesome to be up here in front of the young and the young in heart. But I got to tell you, working with junior highs, they're so brutally honest. Even those two young guys that came up here and told their testimonies, they're so brutally honest, and I love it. You got to picture a four-year-old. I'm talking to a four-year-old, and I was just joking around. I said, so what are you going to be when you grow up? She just looks at me and says, I don't know. Jesus picks it. That's a four-year-old. It gets better than that. It gets better than that. About a year and a half ago, I'm sitting on a pew with an 10, 11-year-old girl, and I'm just sitting there, and I don't know how. Think about this. We're talking about relationships. She was giving me counseling or something. I was single at the time. 10-year-old girl, fantastic kid. And we're just talking, and I said, yeah, I don't know if I'll ever get married. She looks at me and she goes, you know, the Bible tells us that some people aren't meant to get married. Yeah. And I was like, that's fantastic. Thanks for sharing that with me. It was a good thing that I fall down. But yeah, so I mean, the honesty that these young people bring is just incredible. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I feel like I could go off in so many different directions. One of the biggest things I try and tell, especially young people, and this is applicable to everybody, but especially young people, is the generation of young people that is getting raised up, the warriors, that are going out there into battle day in and day out, day in and day out. Society is bombarding them. The enemy is coming at them with so many distractions. You got to realize, and that's why I feel that God has put me in this position, you got to realize that as a mainstream radio personality, and I'm not slamming mainstream radio, but as a mainstream radio personality, I feel sometimes after dealing with young people that I'm responsible for putting out some of the stuff there that kind of diverts them from where they should be focused, where their goals should be. I can remember an after-school program locally at a public school, 11-year-old kids coming up to me and talking about where they were going to get dope that weekend. Just on CNN this morning, I don't know if you saw it, the video of these kids giving toddlers, 2 and 4 years old, dope and drugs, and they were smoking drugs on a video. And that was on CNN this morning, this video. I feel that we have such a responsibility to tell our young people the importance of not only just saying, yeah, I believe in God. Yeah, God is good. He is good. We serve an awesome God. But it's more than that. He wants an intimate relationship with each and every one of us. It's not about just saying, yeah, I do good things. I believe in God. I come on Sundays. And you know what? This is a message that I've heard repeatedly. And some of you are saying, yeah, we've heard this before, Jody. Well, when are you going to get it? That's what I'm saying, is we need to get that now. We need to get it now. You know, and I'm sorry if that hurts. I mean, I was guilty of it for a while too. You come on Sunday and then the rest of the 6 days, you know, you're doing what you can. But once Sunday comes around, yeah, you're fired right back up. Well, it's got to go 7 days. And I struggle with this all the time. I came to a point where I was like, you know, I don't even think I can be on mainstream radio because of what's going out there. Am I saying you shouldn't listen to that stuff all the time? No. What I'm saying is that you should know what it's about, and you should equip yourself with the armor of God in His Word that tells us how we can avoid that. That's the bottom line. And as an older person, it is so important for us to lead by example. We have no right. I could be 10 times deeper in a Christian walk than someone else, but I have no right to compromise that person's beliefs or their value structure based on where they are in their walk simply because I feel that I'm a stronger Christian than that person. There's no way. There's no way we have the right to do that. We need to walk the walk and talk the talk. Right now, in our junior high ministry at Desert Stream, we're learning about faith. And we've got 6 to 12-year-olds that are repeating constantly. Constantly, I'm trying to get it in their heads. You speak it and you believe it. If you want things to happen in your life, you speak it and you believe it. Another big thing for me too was, you know, I for the longest time, this was just non-existent. The Bible, you know, it's a book. Yes, it is, very powerful book. But I wouldn't carry it with me anywhere. You know, I just left it at home. You know, I didn't bring it to church on Sunday. I'm sure there's an extra one sitting around somewhere with the cover ripped off and somebody's name in it. But I just didn't think it was necessary to bring that with me. And then I realized, after working with our young people, that there's young kids that are just coming, you know, lollygagging into church. And it was just right there, slammy. It said, you got to start leading by example. They will see you do it, and they will want to do it. You ingrain that. You're planting the seed. That's what they say. You're planting the seed. I get so fired up when I see young people that really have no chance sometimes because of their circumstances around them. And then I look at the people that they're surrounded by, and I'm just sitting there going, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? I can go back to another radio story. When The Passion, no, not The Passion. What was the other one where it was with Tom Hanks in it? What was that movie called? What was it? Da Vinci Code. I'm at K-Rock 105.7, a highly Christian station. It's a joke. It's like a rock station. Actually, a funny little story about that. I called Kingston Gospel Temple when I went down there. I said, you know, I work at K-Rock. I did some stuff up in Belleville with some local churches. If you guys ever need anything plugged or you want anything advertised on the station, let me know. The guy's like, oh, thanks a lot. He probably hung up, never heard from him again. He's probably like, K-Rock just called. They want to advertise for us. Yeah, right, right? And they hang up, the rock station. Get some AC/DC and Aerosmith. And then coming up at Kingston Gospel Temple, we've got... But this is, I was serious. I was going to help promote them. But my point is, the Da Vinci Code came out, and I remember I was on air one night, and I was talking about it. And there's always something they tell you in school when you're learning about radio, is that you never mix politics and religion when you're on air, unless you're a talk show host. But I was on there, and I had a choice. I was talking about Da Vinci Code, and I could have said, yeah, saw the movie, it was interesting. But for some reason, and in my head I'm worried about this, but for some reason, it was like, no, you need to say, it was an interesting movie, don't believe it. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and that's why I don't believe it. All right, but you got to realize, in radio, I was paranoid. You guys think, well, that's nothing big. I was worried that I was going to get a pink slip the next day, because all it would take is someone to complain, say, well, you got Christians there running the radio station. What's that all about? You know, all it takes is little things like that. The next day, okay, I was worried all night. The next day, I get an email from a woman in New York who says, what a witness to Christ you are. The devil is certainly ticked that you said that last night. And I was just like, amen. I was like, that kind of stuff. That's the kind of stuff that can go on when you believe it 100% and you speak it as well. It is one thing to go to work on a daily basis. And again, this is a message I've heard repeatedly too. And I'm not saying that you got to go around work saying, hey, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. How are you doing? Good to see you, you know. But you got to, there are always opportunities for you to exemplify what it means to walk as Christ did. There is always opportunities for you to delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I know, I can't think of his name right now, but a question that a pastor said to a congregation once, he said, every morning you should wake up and ask, who has my heart today? Who has my heart today? Does the world have my heart, or does Jesus Christ have my heart? Think about it. Who has your heart when you wake up in the morning? I know in the last couple months, there's times when you get out of bed and I struggle and I'm like, I don't even know if I want to go to work today. It's tough enough to say, yeah, the Jesus Christ has my heart. You might be down. But I can tell you one thing, that after constantly repeating those words, Jesus Christ has my heart today, Jesus Christ has my heart today, you start to walk in that pattern. You will start to see amazing things happen in your life because He promised it. He promised it. It's all in here. He promised it. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Consistency plays in that crew. It's huge. It was like that gentleman said, I don't know where he went, about the rain, right? If the rain hadn't stopped, would you have just given up on Christ? No. You might have felt like it. But if the rain hadn't stopped, you wouldn't have given up. Some people would. They say, well, thanks a lot, God. Thanks for not stopping the rain. Appreciate that. I really needed that today. The consistency has to be there. For young people, and again, I feel bad because I'm saying this is for young people, but it should be for everybody. One of the biggest things I do now is I keep a prayer journal. I've done it for 3 years. I've been a Christian for 4 years. I have one for almost 3 years. And I can go back, and it's so awesome to look and see, oh, yeah, that prayer was answered. That prayer was answered. And it just feeds you. It feeds you. And that's what God wants. He wants you to come in closer to Him. I heard a guy say to his congregation about the prayer of people using, you know, God use me, God use me. It's not the be all end all. You shouldn't not say it, but God doesn't want to sit there and just use you. He wants to get to know you more. He wants to pull you in, and then He will start to work in your life, and you'll see those riches, those glories, the abundance of rewards. But sitting there and just going, God use me. Use me now. Maybe God's saying, you know what? Get to know me. Spend some time with me. You know, you spent an hour and a half on MSN. Why couldn't you have read the word? You know? It's true. It's true. I'm I'm on like a 40-day fast from almost the internet because I would spend hours on that thing. And I just realized a little while ago, thing went off my head. It was God like saying, you are spending so much time on that computer, it's taking my time away from you and I spending time together. I want to get to know you more. You know how hard, it's hard. Sometimes the enemy has his hooks right in you, right in you. But you need to declare that God has so much for you. Again, Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I go back to when we were talking about the young kids at our junior high ministry. These kids believe that God is going to deliver. I believe that God is going to deliver. There are people out there that are scared of asking for prayer because I think sometimes they just don't think it'll happen. This morning we had a young girl, she must have been about 7 years old, comes right up to the front to our other pastor. She says, I need prayer for my eyes. 7 years old. I want to see everybody doing that. Kids, I'd love to see tons of kids coming up all the time and asking for prayer. And you know what? That seven-year-old, she walks away and she believes it. She believes it. And that's what we need to do. You know, it's not a matter of her going, my eyes aren't fixed yet. I won't see you next Sunday. You know, that's not what she does. She probably runs and goes, you know, Mom, Dad, the pastor prayed for my eyes. I can feel them getting better already. And God's sitting up there going, awesome. He's going, you're going to be totally healed. Totally healed. In fact, maybe we'll make your eyesight even better. It just blows my mind. Blows my mind. And I'm relatively a new Christian, almost a babe, as they would say, in Christian terms. But, and in other terms as well. But, I'm just kidding. But, no, I'm serious. But, but I can tell you right now, and John and I discussed this the other day, there's a quickening. There's an acceleration going on with young people. There's an acceleration going on that I think that even young people, the way they're starting to walk is influencing our older generations. And I think that's awesome too. I love getting caught off guard by our junior highs, by our youth, by our young adults. That's awesome because then it just forces me to straighten up and do even more in the name of Christ. How many here agree that there's a quickening, there's an acceleration going on right now, not only in this community, but also in this country? Show of hands? I guess so. I don't know. Guy beside me believes it. There is. This is huge. You got to realize, again, I'll go back to me, just so you know, you got to hear these stories because almost four years I've been a Christian, and some people would say, and you're leading the junior highs already? That can't be right. Did you go to Bible college? Where'd you go? And I'm like, no. But I mean, that's the quickening. God is speeding us up. His process is just, the wheels are just turning. They're just turning. My mind is turning right now. I just feel the young people here right now, all of them, and I know they're all paying attention. I just get that sense that they want to influence where they're working, where they're going to school, you know, their friends. And it's tough. It is so tough because you're going to have people, what, you're going to church today? Don't you want to sleep in, you know, especially for young people? Don't you want to meet me on MSN later and we can LOL with each other? What is that, laugh out loud? Is that, so we can laugh out loud with each other? You know, that's the stuff, BRB, what is that, bathroom break or be right back or something? Like, come on. Like, well, seriously, that's what they want to do. Kids come home from school and they jump right on the computer. That's what they do. Society is accelerating too, but that's what they do. I mean, you got to get your homework done. I understand that. But there is so much opportunity for you guys, all of us, young people, young at heart, babes, to be spending time in the Word of God. As a reference to myself. Just kidding. I'm serious. But this is huge. This is huge. And I sometimes sit and I think to myself, you know, I go back to the mainstream radio, and I'm still on mainstream radio. I'm pretty popular. But I only do a golf show now because I said to my boss at the radio station, I said, I don't feel comfortable putting out the image that I'm putting out. How can I stand in front of a group of junior high kids or a group of young adults and young people like this and profess to say, you know what? God is my Savior. I walk like Jesus did. I struggle. I make mistakes, but I pick myself up, and thanks to his redemptive power, you know? How can I stand up and say that when I'm on the air doing stupid jokes, crank calls, and playing this crap music? There was a statistic, a study that every six seconds on TV, people are exposed, especially young people, because they're watching TV the most, people are exposed to sexual connotations on TV. Every 6 seconds. I'm like, that's not possible. How's it possible? So then I was at the gym, on the treadmill, I was watching much music, and it was like every 3 seconds, it seemed like. I'm just sitting there going, oh my gosh. I felt like, I was like, ah. But it just fills your head with stuff that does not need to be there. And the thing is, the worst part about me saying this, is that it seems like I'm saying all this stuff is useless, which probably it is. It's crap, you know, you can't listen to Britney Spears and you can't listen to 50 Cent. You know, you can't do that. That's for all the young people. The old people are, 50 Cent? What is this all about? But the point is that I'm not saying you can't listen to that. Is that you've got to equip yourself and you've got to realize that stuff is not going to get you closer with Jesus. It's not. It's not. And I don't care, you want to shove an MP3 player in your head and walk to school and fill your head with that crap, go right ahead. But do not complain to someone else that God's not moving in your life because you are not doing what it takes to have him move. It's true. I sometimes sit there and I go, where is God? Where is God? You know, and I sit and I go, I just spent a week on the internet doing nothing but filling my head with crap. You know? How do I expect God to move my life when I'm not even trying to get closer to him? And that's why I say, then the message is so simple. It's so simple. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's so simple. How long have I talked for? 35 minutes? 25 minutes? I'm going to wrap this up because I know, John, you wanted me to talk for about 20 minutes. Okay. All I'm saying to the young people and the adults as well is basically the line I said before. You cannot expect God to move in your life if you are constantly going after the things that the world has. You know, you're either in or you're not. And it's very black and white. You know, you can't pick and choose from the Bible. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. Well, if I do this, then I think I'm still allowed to do this. Maybe this, but will God reward me for that? John, can you come and help me for a second here? I need to figure this out. You know, that's not the way it works. And you know why that is? Is because people sometimes can't handle the truth. What's the name of that movie, A Few Good Men or something? You Can't Handle the Truth with Nicholson? Yeah. But I mean, it's so cut and dry. And I really hope that each and every one of you get this because there is no middle ground with Jesus. You're either all for him or you're against him. It's true. It's true. And sometimes you sit there and you go, that sucks. I can't, no. What do you mean I got to give that up? But just think of the effects, okay? You often hear, you know, the path that the world has, you know, exaggeration is like this, right? But the path that Jesus has for you is like this, narrow. Now, this path might seem fun for a while, but there will be detrimental effects, let me tell you. I've seen them. But this path, even though it's tight, goes like this a lot. The rewards at the end of that path, you couldn't even imagine them. Couldn't even imagine what's on the other side. Could not even begin to realize what he has in store for you if you just go after him and get to know him. You get to know him. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's my prayer for you right now, is to delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Can I pray right now? I just want to pray. That's cool. That's cool. Father, thank you. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be in front of this house tonight. And I thank you that by your stripes we are healed. I thank you that by what you did on the cross, oh, you allowed us to become new creations in you, Lord. And my prayer is that everyone here who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, and even those that don't, would come to know you more. That those who don't would see the light on each and every one of us and say, you know what? I want some of that. I want to know what that's about. And they are drawn in. Christ is dwelling within us. He is inside us. We have the minds of Christ. We are made in his likeness. You are an awesome God. Father, I pray tonight that you also continue to strengthen us, that you lift us up. You equip us through your word. You put the armor of God all over us so that the enemy does not have a chance. Does not have a chance. We know what the world stands for, Father, and we know what you stand for, and I choose you. And that's my prayer for everyone here tonight, that we choose you. We choose you. We stand on your word. We stand on your word. And we just thank you. Oh, thank you, God. In Jesus' name, Jesus' incredible name, and everybody said, amen. Thank you, Father. Wow. Wow. Amen. Ooh.